Okay, so we're learning a very important sugya of Kabbalah's Shabbos Betos. The sugya began with Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rav. Rav made early Shabbos, he davened Maariv early. His Talmud Rabbi Yirmiyah asked him, when you davened Maariv, were you Mekabel Shabbos? Were you Pirish from Melocha? And he said, yes, I was. So we understood that to mean, the question was, when you daven Maariv, is that an acceptance of Shabbos? And the answer is, yes, it is. The Gemara asked, how can you suggest that? We have a story in which one of the Amoraim made early Shabbos, and he was seen afterwards in the Beis HaMerchatz, to which the Gemara says, that's not a problem. That particular story took place before the Gezeirah of Merchatz was ever introduced. The Gemara then asks the second question. We have another episode in which somebody was Mekabel Shabbos early, L'chayre, he davened Maariv early, and he was allowed to cook and smoke this gofres. So the Gemara says, that was betos. That was betos. What does that mean, that was betos? He made early Shabbos with a misunderstanding that it was nightfall, and that's why he davened. Because it became very dark and cloudy, as Rashi explained, and suddenly the clouds cleared, and it became clear that it's still broad daylight. So under those circumstances, because it was betos, nothing happened. So the way we understood so far, and this is where we left off, that if your Kabbalah Shabbos is based on your tefillah, then immediately if the tefillah is cancelled, then obviously the Kabbalah Shabbos is cancelled with it. Why is this tefillah cancelled? Because it was davened betos. It was davened betos. Now, as we explained last time, we're definitely talking about somebody who davened after Plag HaMincha. He definitely davened Maariv after Plag HaMincha. If he davened Maariv prior to Plag HaMincha, then the discussion is a non-starter. So he davened after Plag HaMincha. Nonetheless, he didn't want to daven Maariv after Plag HaMincha. He really wanted to wait until nightfall. He thought it was nightfall. It wasn't. It turns out it was after Plag HaMincha. The chiddush of the Gemara is that even though essentially you are allowed to daven Maariv after Plag HaMincha, you can follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who allows you to daven Maariv after Plag HaMincha. Nonetheless, because he didn't want to daven then, that's called a tefillah betos. A tefillah betos is cancelled, and if so, the Kabbalah Shabbos that goes with it is also cancelled. That's the way we learned so far. So have a look at the Gemara. The first word on the line is Livoi. We're up to the last word on the line, which is Vetousa. Rashi, the Gemara says, Vetousa mi hodra? Question mark. Is a tos mi, is it really hodra returned? I mean, is it retracted? Is it cancelled? You're telling me that because they davened betos, so it was retracted, the Maariv was cancelled and deleted. And if that's the case, if the Maariv gets deleted, then the Kabbalah Shabbos obviously goes with it as well. Says the Gemara, is that really true? That when you daven betos, then everything is cancelled? Is that true? The Ha'omar Avidon, Avidon once said, the following story. Pamachas, on one occasion, niskashru shomayim ovim, ba'ovim. The heavens became filled with clouds. In other words, it became very dark. Kisvurim ha'om, the om, the nation thought, loimar, to say, that chashecha hu, they thought that it was genuinely dark. In fact, it wasn't, it was just cloudy. But they thought that it was nightfall. V'nichnasu lebeis haKnesses, And they entered the Beis HaKnesses, v'hispalelu shel motz Shabbos v'Shabbos. So here now, all of a sudden, we're talking about at the other end of Shabbos. Until now, we've been discussing the halachas of somebody making early Shabbos. Here, all of a sudden, it's somebody making early Motzah Shabbos. So they davened on Motzah Shabbos, thinking that it was dark, and it turns out that it was not dark. They mistakenly thought, because of the cloud cover, that it had nightfall had arrived, and on that premise they davened Maariv. It turns out it was a mistake. V'nispazru ha'ovim, and then the clouds became dispersed. V'zorcho ha'chamo, and the sun began to shine again, and all of a sudden they realized, the horror of horrors, it's not really nightfall, it's in fact Shabbos afternoon. Uba'u v'sho'alu es Rebbe. So they came to ask Rebbe, and they said, what do we do now? We've davened Maariv. It turns out we thought it was 8 o'clock at night. It's not. It's 6 o'clock in the afternoon. V'omar, and he said, hoyil v'hispalalu, hispalalu. Because they've davened, they've davened. End of question. Now, this needs a lot of work to understand what exactly is the Gemara Shaila. So what was the story? Here you had a tzibur who davened Maariv early. It wasn't Friday night, which is like what we're discussing. It is Moitzoy Shabbos. Now, it goes without saying, and Rashi immediately points this out. Obviously, if you davened Maariv early on Moitzoy Shabbos, whatever you hold about that Maariv, obviously, that's not going to allow you to do Malacha. You can tell me any understanding and any lomdas you like, but at the end of the day, it's not yet nightfall. So obviously you can't do Malacha, and if you do Malacha, that's called Chilul Shabbos. So therefore, that wasn't the discussion in Rebbe's story. When they came to Rebbe and they asked him, what should we do? Our tzibur have davened Maariv early by accident. They didn't mean to ask, what should we do? Are we allowed to now go and do Malacha? That obviously was not the question. Of course, it's osur to do Malacha. So what was the question? The question was, do we have to daven Maariv again? Because our first one was davened betos. And what did he answer? Hoyel v'hispalalu, hispalalu. If you've davened, you've davened. What has that got to do with our case? We are not talking about Motzah Shabbos, we're talking about Friday night. So what was our story? We had a story which l'chayr is exactly the same, just not on Motzah Shabbos, but on Friday night Shabbos, in which somebody davened Maariv, and he was seen doing Malacha. How can that be? So the Gemara said, because he davened betos. He davened betos. So how did we explain? So what if he davened betos? If you daven Maariv betos, your Maariv becomes cancelled. And if your Maariv becomes cancelled, then the Kabbalas Shabbos, which came with it, becomes cancelled as well. So let's be very technical over here. If you daven Maariv on Friday night betos, we are not cancelling your Kabbalah Shabbos. What are we cancelling? We're cancelling your Maariv. The Kabbalah Shabbos is a byproduct of that. But we're not addressing the Kabbalah Shabbos. There's nothing wrong, essentially, with your Kabbalah Shabbos. We're not undoing that. That will become automatically undone after we cancelled his Maariv. Why did we cancel his Maariv? Because he davened betos. And that now is the Gemara's question. How can you tell me that when somebody davens betos, it becomes cancelled, but here we have a story in which they davened betos and they were told that they don't need to daven again? So clearly, it does not get cancelled. Now, as I mentioned, it's very, very important here not to make a mistake. We're not discussing whether the Kabbalah Shabbos became cancelled. That is the byproduct. What we're discussing is stage A. In our whole sugya, we have said there's part A and part B. Part A is the Ma'ariv, part B is the Kabbalah Shabbos as a result. Now, obviously, if there's no A, then there's no B. I don't need to specifically cancel B. Once A is deleted, then obviously B, which was based on it, will become deleted as well. Therefore, in our Motzah Shabbos story, they davened Ma'ariv accidentally. And what were they told? It's fine. Once you've davened, you've davened. As we said before, Chas v'Sholem, they didn't go and do Melacha afterwards. So we're addressing Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv took effect, and the Ma'ariv is fine. And that's the Gemara's question. So therefore, l'chayra, the same should be true on Erev Shabbos as well, that even if you davened b'tos, the Ma'ariv should be fine. And if the Ma'ariv is fine, then the Kabbalah Shabbos that went with it is also fine. So how is he allowed to cook after he davened Ma'ariv b'tos? Now, this Gemara, we're about to see a Rashi, this Gemara is obviously the proof that our entire discussion is talking about somebody who davened Ma'ariv after Plag HaMincha. After Plag HaMincha. This Tzibur who davened, albeit by accident, and they were told that B'dieved, once they've davened, you obviously can't say that if they daven before Plag. If you accidentally daven Ma'ariv in the morning, nobody's going to say, well, okay, b'dieved, that's okay. You can't daven Ma'ariv in the morning, period. We're talking about they daven Ma'ariv after Plag HaMincha. They didn't want to because they would have preferred to daven Ma'ariv after Tzeis HaKoychavim. But because Ma'ariv after Plag HaMincha can take effect, so Rebbe told them, b'dieved, it's okay. So we're only talking about Ma'ariv post Plag HaMincha. Let's have a look at Rashi. We'll go back one Rashi. Ta'usa havoi.
Can I ask a quick question?
Ask a long question.
I know we discussed it in last year, but just I'm having trouble understanding how the Ma'ariv is just taken away on the Friday night, because I'm just thinking, like, there's this, an acceptance of Shabbos, like a transformation happens, a Kedusha gets injected, and the Shem Yisera comes, and how does that all just go away?
Last time we discussed that it may well be that actually no Kedusha arrives at all. If you remember last time we discussed at great length, it may well be that when you daven Ma'ariv and make early Shabbos, all the halachas of Shabbos apply to you, but it's still absolutely Friday. Remember we discussed, you're definitely allowed to still count Sfiras Omer.
But you're definitely not allowed to do certain things.
Why? So we said, all the halachas of Shabbos that you're not allowed to do may not necessarily mean because a kedusha of Shabbos has taken effect, but rather I accepted upon myself not to do anything which is asa on Shabbos. And to the contrary, we explained that would be the easiest understanding of how a mistake could unravel it. If you remember, we discussed that there are those who hold that if you make early Shabbos and there was some accident, you can be matir neder. You can be matir neder. Meaning, until nightfall arrives, it's absolutely Friday. There is no kedusha, as it were. Rather, you've accepted upon yourself not to do anything which is also to do on Shabbos. for the same reason as, in theory, today, Tuesday morning, you could do the same. Imagine today, Tuesday morning, 9:30, you said, I hereby undertake a neder not to cook or build or write or sew or make a knot or do anything which is Osir on Shabbos. So if I walk into your house, it will look for the world like it's Shabbos. It's not. It's Tuesday morning. You happen to make a neder. If you then want to cancel that neder, be matirin dorim, or if it turns out that that neder was undertaken b'ta'us, so then it didn't take effect.
Okay, so that's a regular neder, but to me there's a difference when you daven, you're making brachos, so that these are all just brachos of atalos now, like you're, like you did something. Like I think, like
said, brachos of atalos, you're right, I didn't want to daven. Nothing took effect other than based on my mistaken tefillah. Now, we're going to discuss this more in a second, because clearly there is a discussion in this in the Gemara. The Gemara initially said that if you daven betos, it's deleted. And what is the Gemara asking now, Rav Nachum? The Gemara essentially is posing your question. The Gemara is saying, one moment, I have a story in which they davened betos, and they were told, once you've davened, you've davened. In other words, there seems to be in our Gemara a backwards and forwards exactly on the point you just raised. Can one cancel a davening? Does such a concept exist? Now again, I repeat, if you daven before plag hamincha, there's nothing to discuss. You don't need to cancel it, it never happened. But if I davened after plag hamincha, which is a time that essentially you are allowed to daven, except that he didn't want to daven then, so that is exactly the discussion now of Gemara. It's a very deep shaila. Does there exist the concept of a tefillah being cancelled, or, as the Gemara said, once hispalalu, hispalalu, the genie's out of the bottle and you can't put it back? That is our discussion. Now have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Ta'usa Havoi. This is in the previous story. How come he was allowed to cook after having Davan Mariv? The answer was because it was a mistake. Loi Kibel Olov Toisefes Shabbos Misha'as Tfila Mida'as. That's the main word. He did not accept upon himself Shabbos Mida'as. It wasn't with consent. Doesn't mean he was coerced into it. It means he didn't willingly do so. Elo, rather, Yoim Hamu'unon Hoya. It was a cloudy day. The Kosovor Chashecha. He thought that it became dark. The Achakach Zorcho Chamo. And afterwards, he was in for a very pleasant surprise. The sun began shining. And that's when we said the tefillah becomes cancelled. And with it, the Kabbalah Shabbos. Says the next Rashi, what about this story in which the Tzibur davened Mariv on Motzah Shabbos early and they were told, once you davened, you've davened. Hoyel v'hispalalu, hispalalu. Says Rashi, v'loi hitzrichem lehispalel. He did not necessitate, he did not require them to daven mishatechshach once it became dark. Now here come the three key words. Alma, we see, tfilohi. We see that it is considered a tfilah. So Rashi is clearly telling us again that the whole discussion in our Gemara is, did the tfilah take effect or the tfilah didn't take effect? The first part of the Gemara, which said it was a ta'us, seemed to be saying that the tefillah that was davened by mistake did not take effect. And yet in this story, we seem to be told the tefillah does take effect. Now, Rashi immediately points out, V'ha'falpi sheloi hutru b'malacha, even though in that Motzah Shabbos, obviously, they were not permitted to do malacha. Hosam hu over there, that is because Deloy lavoir al divrei Torah, in order not to transgress divrei Torah. Moreover, Rabbeisa, we have to point out something very, very, very important, and we said this right in the beginning of the sugya. When we have a machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbonon about whether you can daven Mariv early, if you remember, Tosfos told us that even if you daven Mariv and you want to choose the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, but you still need to say Kriya Shema after nightfall. Why is that? Because the whole discussion of making early Mariv was only ever said with regard to halachas of Drabonon, like davening Mariv. But with regard to Kriya Shema, which is min ha-Torah, you've got to wait till real nightfall. So too over here, that's what Rashi's telling us over here as well. That on Motzah Shabbos, you daven Mariv, accidentally. And they were told, fine, the Mariv takes effect. So Rashi immediately points out, don't Chas V'Shalom make a mistake of thinking that they were allowed to do Malacha. Why? As Rashi points out, because you can't transgress a Dvar Torah. Certainly with regard to Dinim Do'eraisa, you cannot do a Malacha. It's not yet nightfall. Says Rashi, back to our discussion. Avo le'inyan Tosefes. But with regard to Tosefes Shabbos on Friday night, Afal gav debetous hava, even though he davened by accident, surely I see from this story, Tosefes hu alidei tefillah. The Tosefes still takes effect through the tefillah. Hoyil va'omar, seeing as he said, that tefillah, kabbalahi. We always said that tefillah is a kabbalah Shabbos. So if ever we want to know whether the kabbalah Shabbos took effect, we really have to ask ourselves a preliminary question, which is, did the tefillah take effect? It's 1 plus 1. We were told in the beginning of the sugya that tefillah equals kabbalah. So if I want to know whether the kabbalah is alive and well, I need to know whether the tefillah is alive and well. And we have proved from this new story that when you daven betos, your tefillah is alive and well. It doesn't mean you could do malacha on Motzah Shabbos, obviously, but with regard to Friday night, even if you daven betos, the tefillah takes effect. And if the tefillah takes effect, then the Kabbalah Shabbos takes effect as well. In which case, we're back to square one. What does that mean, we're back to square one? Why was he allowed to cook after having davened Mariv? Don't tell me that there was different because he davened Mariv betos. So what? Even if you daven Mariv betos, that tefillah still takes effect, and therefore automatically the Kabbalah Shabbos with it. That's the Gemara's kasha. Says the Gemara, the last five words of this complicated sugya. Shani tzibur. A tzibur is different to a yochid. Deloy matrachinon lehu. We do not exert them. We are not machayev them to do tircha. This is the famous concept of tircha de tzibura. What's the Gemara teaching us? The Gemara is telling us that you cannot prove the status of a tefillah betos from that particular story. Why not? Because that story was not a yochid. We're dealing with a yochid. But in that particular story, it was a tzibur. Because it was a tzibur, that's why Rebbe said, in order to prevent tircha de tzibura, we're not going to obligate them to daven Mariv again. And therefore what? that cannot be brought as a proof to our case as a yochid. Meaning, in the final analysis, if we were asked, what's the halacha of somebody who davens Mariv Betos? Does that take effect, or it doesn't take effect? And it sounds like there's a differentiation to be made between a yochid and a tzibur. A yochid who davens Mariv Betos, his tefillah is cancelled, and with it, therefore, the Kabbalah Shabbos. A tzibur who davens Betos, we will let them off the hook, tircha de tzibura, and we will tell them that their tefillah, hoyel v'hispalalu, hispalalu. If they've davened, they've davened. Again, on Motzah Shabbos, this will not chas v'sholom allow them to do malacha, because it's still daytime. But the tefillah takes effect, and they will not have to daven again. But with regard to a yochid, what would have been in the equivalent case with a yochid on Motzah Shabbos? Not a tzibur. Somebody daven mariv at home, not the tzibur. He thought it was nightfall and it wasn't. Then we would tell him, I'm sorry, you've got to daven again. Your tefillah was cancelled. That is the end of the Gemara. We now need to ask ourselves a $64 million question. This tzibur who daven Mariv mistakenly, they made the exact same mistake as the yochid that we're dealing with on Erev Shabbos, except they did it on Motzah Shabbos. And what were we told? No, once they've davened, they've davened. Why is their tefillah not cancelled? Because they are a tzibur. So what question must we ask ourselves now? There is one case which is not discussed in the Gemara. What would be if on Friday night a tzibur davened betos? The story that we saw on Motzah Shabbos, imagine that would have happened on Friday night. With regard to the yochid, we were told that what? Because it was betos, his tefillah was cancelled, and therefore the Kabbalah Shabbos disintegrated with it. Had it not been a yochid, had it been a tzibur that would have davened on Friday night, a tzibur of 500 people, or for that matter, 10 people, and they davened Mariv betos. Now, all of a sudden, the clouds dispersed, the sun began to shine, and they realized it was daytime. If they would have asked, Rebbe, do we have to daven Mariv again? What would they have been told?
No. No.
Definitely not. Why not? Tircha de tzibura. So here comes the question. So does that therefore mean that it would be Kabbalah Shabbos for them? Because we've always been maintaining that Kabbalah's Shabbos is dependent on tefillah. No tefillah, no Kabbalah. Yes tefillah, yes Kabbalah. So as we've always said, we're not really dealing in our sugya of Ta'os, we're not really addressing specifically the Kabbalah Shabbos. That's stage B. We're always addressing stage A, one moment. Did this tefillah take effect or not? With regard to the yochid, we said, it did not take effect. And if it didn't take effect, then we don't need to cancel the Kabbalah Shabbos, it just becomes disintegrated. But with regard to the tzibur, now that we've learned that when a tzibur davens betos, they do not need to daven again, so it sounds like we're being taught that their tefillah does take effect. So if it takes effect, does that mean that the Kabbalah Shabbos will take effect as well? This case is the one case that's missing in the Gemara. Now, have a look at Tosfos. It's a little bit cryptic. It's the fourth Tosfos on the page. It's a tiny little Tosfos, but there's much, much discussion about this Tosfos. Have a look at the fourth Tosfos, the one that begins with the words Sha'ani Tzibur. The Gemara said Sha'ani Tzibur, a Tzibur is different. Again, remember that that Gemara was talking about Motzah Shabbos. Says Tosfos, the words as they appear in our Tosfos, Sha'ani Tzibur, Afal Gav Deloy Moto Zman, even though the Zman hadn't arrived, Ein Isur, this is the way the Bach changes the words of Tosfos, Ein Isur Ba'asiyas Melocha. There is no Issa for them to do Melocha, Afal Gav de Ta'usa Hu. Very unclear what exactly Tosfos is trying to say. There is an enormous machloikus between the Maharshal and the Maharsha as to what exactly is Tosfos is saying. And not only is it a machloikus, but it's two opposite opinions. I think we should clock out, and Mr. Hashem will clock back in, and we'll learn this machloikus together.
Okay.
So we have these rather cryptic words in Tosfos. Now, if you have a Gemara in front of you, if you go towards the back of the Gemara, you should find there's a Rosh, and after the Rosh, there's a page of Marshoha. It says, Chidushei Halochez Va'agodos Marshoha. You have the Marsha, anybody?
Avram, what page is on in our Gemara?
Chaf.
Chaf? Okay, thanks.
Yeah, Nachum, you have it? So if you look, there is a page of Marasha. At the bottom of the page, there is the Chochma Shleimai. If you see at the bottom the Chochma Shleimai, the Chochma Shleimai was authored by the Maharshal, Rav Shleimo Luria, that's why it's called Shleimo, and he lived about 500 years ago. He was a nephew of the Ramah. The Ramah's yard site is today. Today is the yard site of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, according to some opinions, but definitely the yard site of the Ramah. If you look at the Chochma Shleimo always has very brief notes on the Gemara. So if you have a look at the Chochma Shleimo, you'll see it says Daf Chof Zayin. Can you see those big words, Daf Chof Zayin? So carry on a few words into that and you'll see a big Ayin base, Omud base. Have you got that? Yeah, you have that? So it says Omud base, Toisvus, V'diba Amaschil, that's one we just learned, Shani Tzibur, Zman Ein Isurim. They were very cryptic words. It wasn't clear what Tosfos is saying. Says the Marashah, Nun Beis. Nun Beis is a bit like what we would write at the end of a letter, NB. This is his note. Nirali Tos. It would appear to me, says the Marashah, that there is a mistake in Tosfos. Tosfos says the words, Ein Isurim. Says the Marashah, I'd like to edit Tosfos. Vahochi ra'u lihiyos. And this is the way that it should be stated in Tosfos. It should say the following. Va'afal gav deloy mota zman isur. Even though the zman of isur, meaning nightfall, has not yet arrived. Asurim ba'asiyas malocha. Not as it appears in our text as ein isurim, rather as yes, Asurim. What does that mean? Says the Marshal, I'll explain. Pirish. Kedei sheloi lahatshricham oid bitfilo. So as in order not to be matriach them, exert them to daven again. Remember, it's Tzibur. Mishum hachi, therefore, ukminu, I will establish them v'isuraihu, with their isur, masha ein kein b'yochid, as opposed to a yochid. Let's press pause. What is the Marashal telling us? The Gemara has differentiated between a yochid and a tzibur. If a tzibur davens by accident, then we say, if they've davened, they've davened. If a yochid davens by accident, then that tefillah becomes deleted. So what would be, we asked, if a tzibur daven on Friday night by accident? So we said, normal rules would apply for the tzibur, which is, the tefillah takes effect. The big question mark was, so what happens to their isurim? Does that mean that if the tefillah takes effect, then the Kabbalah Shabbos takes effect? How can you differentiate between the two? The text of our Tosfos is Ein Asurim. But the Marashal has edited that to Asurim. And he is telling us the way he learns Tosfos, if there is Tircha de Tzibura, and for that reason we are told that they do not need to redaven because the Tefillah took effect, then they are Asurim ba'asiyas Malocha. If their Ma'ariv took effect, why did it take effect? Because they are a Tzibur, then the Kabbalah Shabbos automatically comes with it, and it is Osa for them to do Malocha. As opposed to a Yochid. So there we have it. According to the way the Maharshal learned Tosfos, if we were to be asked, halacha lemaisa, if somebody davens Maariv on Friday night, after Plag HaMincha, obviously, betos, does he have to daven Maariv again? And is it Shabbos for him? The answer is, it depends.
Yes,
for a Yochid, the Maariv got cancelled and the Kabbalah Shabbos went with it. For a Tzibur, the Maariv is not cancelled and therefore the Kabbalah Shabbos remains alive and well. It's very neat. So again, we are never addressing the Kabbalah Shabbos. The Kabbalah Shabbos is always just a byproduct of the Maariv. That's what emerges from the Maharshal. We are never making a distinction between Maariv and Kabbalah Shabbos. If the Maariv takes effect, Kabbalah Shabbos takes effect. If Maariv doesn't take effect, Kabbalah Shabbos doesn't take effect. There's no difference. That is the way the Maharshal learns Pshat in Tosfos. However, continue the last few words of the Maharshal. Avol. He says, I must agree that others disagree. Mikol Mokoim, Horosh v'Horashbo Kosvu. Both the Rosh and the Rashbo both write, the Dafka la'inyan Tfila, Avoloi l'malocha. The Rosh and the Rashbo, strangely enough, make a distinction. And they tell this Tzibur, you wouldn't believe it, you have the best of both worlds. Your Maariv takes effect, you don't need to daven Maariv again. Oh, so then it's Shabbos for me. No, you're allowed to do Malacha. Your Tfilah took effect, your Kabbalah Shabbos. So according to the Maharshal, what emerges over here is an enormous machlokes rishonim between Tosfos, again, the way that he learned Tosfos, and the Rosh and the Rashbo. There is a Maharsha, we're not going to see the Maharsha. The Maharsha disagrees with the Maharshal, and he says, keep the text of Tosfos, Ein Asurim Basias Malacha, Ein Asurim. According to the Maharshal, all the Rishonim are on the same page. Tosfos, Rosh, Rashba. Whereas according to the Maharshal, no, there is a machlokes between Tosfos and others. Now, which opinion is easier to understand? L'chaira, we would understand Tosfos, the way the Maharshal learns, that if their tefillah took effect, then it's osa for them to do melacha. L'chaira, it's always two halves of one coin. How can you have the best of both worlds? The Yochid's Maariv got cancelled, so he's got to daven Maariv again, but the Kabbalah Shabbos got cancelled with it. The Tzibur, their Maariv, did not get cancelled. Why not? Tircha de Tzibura. So, it l'chaira makes a lot of sense to say that what? That if their Maariv is alive and well, then their Kabbalah Shabbos is alive and well, and they can't do Malacha. That l'chaira makes a lot of sense. It's very logical. Really, we need to scratch our heads and work out the other opposing opinion. How can the Rosh and the Rashba, how can they say that although they don't need to daven Maariv again, which sounds like their tefillah has taken effect, but there's no Kabbalah Shabbos? How on earth does that happen? Make up your mind. Take a stance. If the tefillah is a good tefillah, then the Kabbalah Shabbos is a good Kabbalah Shabbos. And if the tefillah is cancelled because it was tos, then the Kabbalah Shabbos is cancelled. How on earth can you distinguish between the two? So there are various ways of explaining, but let's just take one for a moment. Let's go back, all the way back to the beginning of the sugya, and bear with me, this is complex. Let's go back to the beginning of the sugya. Rav davened Mariv early. So his Talmud asked him, Rabbi Yirmiya, mi bodlat? Did you refrain from doing malacha? And he said, yes, I did. So we said, fine, here we see the phenomenally large chiddush that tefillah equals Kabbalas Shabbos. Tefillah equals Kabbalas Shabbos. And that's what his question was. That's exactly what he was asking his Rebbe. When you daven Mariv, did you refrain from doing malacha? In other words, is that considered Kabbalas Shabbos? And he answered, yes, it is. So now we need to ask ourselves a fundamental question. A fundamental question, which is, why indeed is Mariv Kabbalas Shabbos? We were told the equation, but we weren't told the explanation of that equation. The equation is clear. Mariv equals Kabbalas Shabbos. The one word question is, why? How did that happen? As we've discussed last time, the simplest and most classic way of being Mekabel Shabbos is by standing up and declaring verbally, I hereby accept upon myself Kedushas Shabbos. But you didn't do that when you davened Mariv. All you did was, you opened the Siddur and you recited the text. How did that become Shabbos all of a sudden? Magic wand? Said Mariv, magic, Shabbos. How does that happen? There are two ways of understanding how that happens. And just for the purpose of our discussion, I'm going to give you a little moshel. Imagine you turn on your light. You've pressed the switch, the light will come on. Why did the light come on? Because you wanted the light to illuminate? No, because you pressed the switch. And if you press the switch, it's programmed such that the light will come on. Whether you mentally thought to yourself you want the light to come on or you don't want to come on, it's totally irrelevant. It's an automatic program. If you turn on the light switch, the light will come on. Is that the way it works with Mariv? Is Mariv a light switch? The mere utterance of the words, Baruch Ato Hashem, for example, Mekadesh HaShabbos, that is an act of sanctification of Shabbos. Not because you mentally thought in your mind that I hereby want to be Mekabel Shabbos, but rather because you pressed the light switch. What is that light switch? Merely uttering the words Mekadesh HaShabbos is the light switch. So you've just sanctified the Shabbos. That's what you've done, whether you wanted to or not. That is one way of understanding. The other way of understanding is that no, it's not a light switch. Do you know what it is? It's exactly the same as when you get up and you verbally declare that I'd like to be Mekabel Shabbos on myself. If you daven Mariv, it's not the light switch. It's not automatic. Rather, by virtue of the fact that you have davened Mariv, I read your mind. And you know what it says in your mind? I'm davening Mariv. So clearly, I want this to be nightfall. And if you want it to be nightfall, you obviously want it to be Shabbos.
Can't you extend the metaphor back to the light switch? I'm not even going to touch that light switch unless I want the light to go on. So I'm not going to. Yes. I'm not even going to say Mariv unless my intention is for Shabbos to be introduced.
Right. So therefore, we have two different ways to understand this equation. The equation In the final analysis, it's clear. Maariv equals Kabbalah Shabbos. But there's two ways to understand. How is it Kabbalah Shabbos? Is it Kabbalah Shabbos because you've just pressed the light switch? So whether you want the light to come on or not is irrelevant. It's programmed to switch it on. Utterance of the words Mekadesh HaShabbos turns on the Shabbos? Or no? When you daven Maariv, you've expressed your intention to make it night. You've expressed your intention to make it night. Well, if it's night, then it's Shabbos. Two different ways to understand. What's the difference? The difference will be what happens when it's betos. I turned on the light switch. I can't believe the light came on. I turned it on by accident. So what? But that's the program. You can't delete that. If the way that Maariv works is that it's an automatic light switch, press the button and the light comes on, then what? Then whether you wanted to or didn't want to is totally irrelevant. You've turned on the switch. If, however, we go with the other understanding, that when you daven Maariv, you have therefore expressed your intention and your desire to make it night, and therefore Shabbos, well, if it turns out it was by accident, then I did not want to make it night. Very clear. So let's come back now to this tzibur. This tzibur davened Maariv. They davened Maariv. However, it was betos. It was betos. So what were we told? Special dispensation for a tzibur. Really, you should have a Yudav Maariv again. But, tircha de tzibura. If it's tircha de tzibura, your Maariv will take effect. Ah. If their Maariv takes effect, does that automatically make it Shabbos for them as well? The answer is, it depends. If Maariv is a light switch, then once we've decided that their Maariv takes effect, for whatever reason, happens to be a Tircha de Tzibura, irrelevant, but their Maariv takes effect, then automatically the Kabbalah Shabbos takes effect as well. Why? Because the light switch has been pressed. Whether you wanted or didn't want to make it nightfall and Shabbos is totally irrelevant. But if you say that what? That the way that Kabbalah Shabbos works with tefillah is it's not a light switch, but rather, davening Maariv is itself an expression of I would like to make it nightfall, and if I'd like to make it Shabbos, well then once it was a mistake, even if the tefillah took effect, why did it take effect? Because of Tircha de Tzibura, Beseda. But don't tell me that this Tzibur wanted to be Mekabel Shabbos. Don't tell me that this Tzibur expressed their clear intention to make it nightfall. They didn't. Rather, they thought it was nightfall. It turns out it was a mistake. Obviously, there's no Kabbalah Shabbos. And then Maariv took effect, but it's not a light switch. So if we now see a machlokes rishonim with regard to the tzibur, again, they daven Maariv on Friday night early by mistake, then Maariv definitely takes effect. That's what the Gemara says. Tircha de tzibura, they do not need to daven again. So the big question becomes, okay, their Maariv takes effect. Does that automatically trigger Kabbalah Shabbos? We now understand the Machlokes Rishonim. The Marshal said in the name of Tosfos, it's osa for them to do Malacha. Why? Because because he understands that what? That Maariv is a light switch. So I'm sorry, you can't have the best of both worlds. The minute we've decided that your Maariv took effect, automatically you have pressed the light switch. So of course you can't do Malacha at Shabbos. But the Marashal said in conclusion, I found that other Rishonim disagree. The Rosh and the Rashba. How can they disagree, we said? But they've done a Maariv. Yeah, because they hold that Maariv is not a light switch. Rather, Maariv is just a reflection of their intention to make it lightful. But if it was a mistake, then obviously they did not have an intention to make it lightful. Therefore, even though on the one hand their Maariv takes effect because of Tircha Ditzibura, and they do not need to daven Maariv again, but you cannot at the end of the day tell me that they had an intention to make it Laila. They did not. They did not in a million years think it was Laila. So therefore their Kabbalah Shabbos has not taken effect. For that may well be the understanding in the Machlokes Rishon. Okay, we'll hold it over here. And Be'ezus Hashem. Meantime, have a happy Lag BaOmer, and we'll reconvene on Thursday.
Thank you, thank you.